Well, it is good to see everybody here today, and some people who've moved to other locations back home for the holidays. That's great to see, and it makes us very happy. It's also great to have Ron Snead back with us this morning. So glad he's doing better and able to join us, and he looks good. And I know he has a doctor's appointment tomorrow, is it, Ron? And he would appreciate prayers on his behalf. We're glad you're able to be back with us. I want to also welcome a new brother to our church family here. Daryl, would you stand up and just wave to everyone so we know who you're talking about? Daryl Wayne James, he's been visiting with us for a long time now. We've known you for at least a year, and things in his life have happened where he's made the decision that he wants to be recognized as a regular part of the family here at Lakeshore, and so we're very excited about that, and glad to have you with us. Look forward to getting to know you better, working together, and very happy to be able to make that announcement this morning. I guess, Kevin, maybe you'll have something to say later about the activities this afternoon. Monitoring the weather. So let's stay tuned for news regarding that. You know, there was an interesting survey. I think it came out in the news last week. Not sure when it was done. Actually, it was done twice, or at least twice. But they discovered something really interesting, and that is that people who are in the last year of a decade, according to their age of their life, like 29, 39, 49, 59, right. They call them the Niners. That statistically, they are more likely to make certain kind of decisions, important decisions about their life. For example, the Niners are more likely to run their first marathon in that particular year of their life, okay? Susan, when did you run your first marathon?
Haven't run a marathon yet.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Halves.
Okay, halves. Okay.
I retired.
Okay, you retired at 59. There you go. Now, why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose it's in that last year of your decade, you know, facing down 30, that doesn't sound very scary anymore, but 40 or 50, why do you suppose it's in that Niner year that people run their very first marathon? Anyone have an idea? I'm sorry, Andrew? Okay, they think they're going to be old the next year, and so they want to do something physically to make themselves stronger or to change their life. Who said something over here? Yeah. Okay, they want to do it before they hit that big milestone. You know, there's something about a milestone, yes, that makes you just kind of reevaluate your life and want to make improvements, want to do something different. Let me share, actually, I think you'll find this interesting, what these studies said. Researchers at New York University School of Business and University of California Anderson School of Management conducted 6 studies to see how people in the last year of their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s changed their behavior. They were more likely than others to reflect on their lives and make big changes. And another study said facing down the big 3-0 or 4-0 can be understandably scary. There's something about realizing you're on the brink of a whole new decade to make you rethink everything. But a new study from NYU and UCLA says it isn't the zero ending milestone birthdays you should be worried about. It's the ones right before. And it talks about 8 things statistically that people were more likely to do when their age ends in a 9. Not just run a marathon, but also have an affair. Statistically, people were more likely to have an affair when their age ended in a 9 or to have cosmetic surgery, okay? They're trying to change their physical appearance. They want to stay young. And also, sadly, statistically, these studies said commit suicide. I guess, you know, some despair, some fear about growing older. But they weren't all negative. You know, step up charitable giving. People react in different ways, some positively, some negatively. Set up retirement accounts. I'm getting old. I better start thinking about the future. Run a marathon faster. Okay, I don't know when they ran the first marathon, but I'm going to have the best time I've ever had. And I'm going to, you know, just stop this aging process, and it's not going to get me. And things just like, you know, question the meaning of life. Now, how many of you here are in a nine-ending age of your life right now? Okay, we're going to be praying for y'all, okay? Don't, you know, it's funny, they ask you the day of your birthday, do you feel any older? Nobody feels, you don't feel any older one day to the next, but it's just something mental about that, you know, just that affects us and causes us to think. And, you know, okay, so why are we doing this? It's not just for the Niners among us. But, you know, we're all going through something right now as we come near to the end of a year where it's very similar. We're facing a milestone. We're in the ninth, tenth of the year 2014. And it's just very natural, you know, to think about how did I do last year? You know, what can I do better? We call it a New Year's resolution, right? And so certainly as Christians and as a church, we encourage positive things, positive change, as opposed to negative. And I want to talk about, you know, just a couple of things along that line, and one in particular that I think we can practically do as Christians, and we would encourage everyone certainly to be doing. You know, we talk about general things. I want to grow closer to God. I want to be a stronger Christian. Wonderful, you know, thoughts, but goals need to be a little more specific, certainly, than that. And I want to talk about being serious about growing in our knowledge of God's Word and knowing the Bible better and how important that really is. We have a men's class on Tuesday nights, and, you know, one of the scriptures we looked at recently, it says, how much better to get wisdom than to get gold? You know, I just asked the question, how many of us really believe that? That getting wisdom from the Word of God is better than gold. To get understanding is better to be chosen than silver. Now, I think we all intellectually know the right answer to that question, but do we behave that way? Do we really believe that? In the context here, he's talking about, you know, this great wisdom from the book of Proverbs about how to live your life. Chapter 3, talking about wisdom, it says, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies and all the things you may desire. Look at this. All the things we might desire cannot compare with wisdom, understanding. I'm not saying this to say, why aren't you coming to the men's class? You know, that's completely optional. It's not for everyone. Tuesday nights are, you know, not a good night for everybody. We have a good group that comes down, and we enjoy that, but I'm not talking about that class. I'm talking about just loving God's Word, trusting the wisdom of God's Word. Do we believe, you know, what these verses say, that it is better than gold and silver and rubies, and that all the things we might desire can't compare to a knowledge of God's Word? Psalms 19, verse 10, talking more generally now just about all of God's Word, not just the Proverbs, the wisdom, but Psalms 19, 10, this is the passage that talks about how the law of the Lord, we sing the song, more to be desired than gold, yes, than much fine gold, and it's sweeter also than the honeycomb. That's the attitude that we should have towards the Bible, that we want it more than money. We want it more than any kind of riches. True riches are found in God's Word. And think about all these scriptures, you know, written by David or Solomon. This was in the Old Testament. This was before Jesus came along. The Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he said, to me who am less than the least of all the saints was this grace given. He was that persecutor of Christianity, but God saved him and chose him to be an apostle. And he says, that's why he says, I'm less than the least of all the saints. And he was aware of God's grace upon him. But look at what he said, that I should preach among the Gentiles, look at what he says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's how he describes the New Testament message, the message of the gospel. Unsearchable riches. Some versions say unfathomable or immeasurable. And that's really what the word means. It cannot be grasp. It cannot be measured. It cannot be understood how great and how wonderful the things of the gospel are. Now, earlier in the same chapter, he talked about how he received this message by revelation. By revelation, God made known to Paul the mystery. And he says, I have written briefly about it. And he says, by which, when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God doesn't reveal it all to us directly. But we're like the people who received this letter from Paul. We can read what Paul wrote. And we can read the other books in the Bible. And that's how we can understand this message, which he says is the unsearchable riches of Christ. What if I told you I had a surefire way, guaranteed, in the year 2015, you will experience unimaginable riches? Would anybody be interested in that? I think we all would. Well, I can say that. I can guarantee it to you, okay? It's not money like we tend to think, but it's the promise of God's Word. That as we get to know His Word better, and especially the New Testament, is unsearchable riches. And we need to have faith to really believe that that is, you know, how valuable it is to us. I want to talk about, you know, a couple of things. We announced earlier today that there's a new class for the ladies coming up in the year 2015. And there's information on the table. You know, this is one way that you know, the women can get together once a month. The men, every week, okay? We needed a lot more, I guess, but once a month, the women are going to get together and have a Bible study on the first Sunday afternoon of the month, beginning the first Sunday at 4 o'clock at Blanche McKay's house. Now, we can do this studying and learning on our own, certainly, but the church is designed, you know, to teach people God's Word and to encourage one another. And, you know, the elder's job is to shepherd, to feed the flock. And the things that we do as a congregation are designed to build us up and help us be better Christians. The Bible studies in particular, to know the Word of God. It's not just laws, it's unsearchable riches. And again, the question is, do we really believe that? I know we all do intellectually, but we need to apply that to our life and get serious about Bible studies. We often do things for our young people. Friday night we had a devotion for the teens, and you know, bring your kids out to come to those studies so that they can learn. They're all invited. We want everyone to be there when these opportunities are provided. This is the most important knowledge that there is. Things that are true. I want to talk about, again, the ladies' Bible class there, but a new class that starts, and Brother Turpin mentioned this, January the 1st. It's called Christianity in the Beginning. And what it really is a study of the New Testament. In the beginning, don't confuse that with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, we're not going to go all the way back to Genesis. But it's interesting, our very first lesson, it's based on John chapter 1, begins with these same words. In the beginning was the Word. And it talks about how the Word became flesh. What we're going to study, it's a chronological study of the New Testament. It's going to be both online, and we're going to have two opportunities on Wednesdays. When Paul talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ, you know, all the Bible is valuable, but in particular, he's talking there about of Christ, the gospel. It's the story of the New Testament. And so this study is really designed to help us understand what literally, specifically, is the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're going to go, it's a marathon. We're going to go all the way through the New Testament, starting January 1st. Now, we have to point out, and I think it's always very important, it's not enough just to know the Bible, even if we can memorize the New Testament. That would not help us unless we were really applying it to our life. We all know that's true. And so I want to introduce the new theme that we're going to have for the year 2015 for our congregation. And here's the banners you're going to see starting next week. And it's based on James 1:22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. That's very important. It's not enough just to hear, even memorize, you know, God's word. We've got to do it. We've got to apply it to our life. And so we're really going to stress this next year. Last year it was come and see. This year it's going to be Go and do. Okay? We need to apply it to our life. But notice there, he doesn't say be doers, not hearers. He says be doers, not hearers only. It's not that hearing is not important. Hearing is very important. The Bible says faith comes through hearing the Word of God. It's by studying God's Word that we know what we are to go and do. And so we need to study God's Word. That's always important. And then we need to be doers. I want to challenge whoever presents a lesson next year, William and Kevin, Isaac and others, let's always ask for something specific or present something specific that we can do this week. Because we need to be doers, not hearers only. But Christianity in the Beginning starts January 1st. This is like what we did a couple of years ago. Isaac mentioned this morning. It's a daily Bible reading, much shorter. Some of these are less than 10 verses. The maximum I've run into so far is about 35 verses. And so a couple of years ago, it was really a challenge to read maybe three chapters and work through all that. This is much easier to manage. And we're going to start the beginning of the Gospels and kind of work our way through the life of Christ and through the story of the church, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our website, again, you can go there and you can, there's something to do, okay? Something we can do this week. Go to dailybiblereview.com or you can get there from our church website and sign up and you'll get the daily emails. And there'll be opportunities to answer questions every day. Really takes less than a minimum of 5 minutes to do this, if that. Is that not a small price to pay for, just think if we go through this, we'll gain this great knowledge, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, we'd really like for everyone in our congregation to do this. It'll be valuable information when we come to the end of our study. Unsearchable riches, you know, that just means I cannot imagine really how valuable it is. It cannot be calculated by a mathematician, you know, how much this is worth. Cannot be measured in any way. It's so unimaginably great, the things that God has done for us. We're going to meet on Wednesday mornings at 10. Not everyone can get out Wednesday night. And so this is open to anyone who wants to come. There will be no classes for children, but 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, we'll have a review of the previous week's readings. And so that starts on January the 7th, first Wednesday. And then we'll meet again. The adult class for the year will be devoted to this at 7 p.m. And so follow along the readings. Come prepared on that Wednesday morning or night to discuss the things that have been said. But in conclusion, I just want to say that, you know, it's easy to say these are unsearchable riches, but are they really? I mean, someone can say there is a God, but how do I know there's a God? And we can say it's unsearchable riches, better than gold or silver, but is it really? Is it truly? And I want to just share this chart real quick. Why is it the unsearchable riches? Number one, it's the life of Jesus. God in human flesh, how he lived. There again, in John chapter 1, it said, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. The beautiful life of Jesus. God coming into this world and the life that he lived. It's the story of the love of God. He loves us enough to send his Son and allow him to die on the cross for our sins. God's plan for our lives. What he wants us to do. How he wants us to live. Not the selfish goals that we have that we want to pursue, but what God wants us to be and do. And Jesus says if we will do that, we will find true meaning in our life. And finally, how we can be forgiven of all of our sins. There's nothing more precious or more valuable than that. And so what can we go and do today? Number one, go sign up for Christianity in the Beginning. We want everybody to participate in that study, and that's just one way, you know, that it's being offered to us. Have you become a Christian? You know, do you experience those blessings that we talked about? Have your sins been forgiven? through Jesus Christ. That's something you need to do. You know, and we hope that you'll do today, as soon as possible. You know, give your life to God and obey Jesus in baptism, and have this wonderful promise that your sins have all been taken away. This is the song that Kevin has selected for us, and it reminds us of how these things are immeasurable, unfathomable, impossible to describe how great the things God has done for us, specifically His grace towards me and you. If we can help anybody this morning in any way, we give you this opportunity to come and invite you to come as we now stand. Let's all stand and sing as Kevin leads us.